message is entitled Questions to Consider. It's going to come from 1 Corinthians 10:14-33, and I will start there. In fact, you know what? I better do something else. Give me a minute to set this up. Just in case. So I'm going to start over, and this is only for recording purposes for our internet audience. So this morning we're going to consider words from 1 Corinthians. It's going to be called Questions to Consider. It's going to be 1 Corinthians 10:14-33 that begins in verse 14. Therefore, my dear friends, flee from idolatry. I speak to sensible people. Judge for yourselves what I say. Is not the cup of thanksgiving for which we give thanks and participation in the blood of Christ? And is not the bread that we break a participation in the body of Christ? Because there is one loaf, we who are many are one body. For we all share one loaf. Consider the people of Israel. Do not those who eat the sacrifice participate in the altar? Do I mean then that food sacrificed to an idol is anything, or that an idol is anything? No, but the sacrifice of pagans are offered to demons, not to God. And I do not want you to be participants with demons. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons too. You cannot have a part in both of the Lord's table and the table of demons. Are we trying to arouse the Lord's jealousy? Are we stronger than he? I have the right to do anything, you say, but not everything is beneficial. I have the right to do anything, but not everything is constructive. No one should seek their own good, but the good of others. Eat anything sold in the meat market without raising questions of conscience. For the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. If an unbeliever invites you to a meal and you want to go eat, well, eat whatever is put before you without raising a question of conscience. But if someone says to you, this has been offered in sacrifice, then do not eat it, both for the sake of the one who told you and for the sake of conscience. I am referring to other person's conscience, not yours. For why is my freedom being judged by another's conscience? If I take part in a meal with thankfulness, why am I denounced because of something I thank God for? So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it for the glory of God. Do not cause anyone to stumble, whether Jews, Greeks, or the church of God. Even as I try to please everyone in every way, I am not seeking my own good, but the good of many, so that they may be saved. So we're continuing this series in 1 Corinthians. And we'll conclude with chapter 10 today, in which Paul, he really is tying up, ending his discussion of a seemingly irrelevant, you know, it for us anyway, topic that he's been talking about, eating food that's sacrificed to idols, a custom that is not observed here in the 21st century. But it was a hot-button issue in 55 A.D. in Corinth. People would go to the temple and offer sacrifices to these gods, and these sacrifices were typically meat, and you know, then it would be served in temple restaurants, or they would be, it would be sold in the marketplace. So there was a debate about, is it okay to eat meat that has been sacrificed to a pagan god? Some would say, absolutely not. Meat is the meat is tainted, and by consuming it, you really corrupt yourself. Others would say, it's not a big deal. Those so-called gods don't actually exist. They're mere figments of a cultural imagination. This meat isn't any different from the meat that's sold in the marketplace. It doesn't come prepackaged with any type of blessing or curse. In chapter 8, Paul begins the discussion, you know, discussing this topic. And the discussion takes him to matters of much greater significance than merely what you buy in the supermarket. We explored those in recent weeks and talked about the true nature of spirituality, that it's not merely how good you are, it's how good you are to others. This led Paul into discussion of what it means to live your life on purpose, to have a mission of such magnitude that you can't ignore it. Just as Paul said, woe to me if I don't preach the gospel, and to pursue this calling as if you're running a race that you're absolutely determined to win. And his discussion that begins with the matter of food sacrificed to idols leads Paul to the issues of warnings to the smug and the self-satisfied. You might not know as much as you think you know. So take care and take time to learn. Take care that you don't fall. And take heart that God's promise to give you strength, that it's there, and you need to stand strong, so strong in the face of temptation because God is with you. Today, as this section finally, it seems to us, draws to a close in a conclusion, Paul loops back to the original topic and what to do about food that has been sacrificed to idols. He emphasizes a couple of ideas here that he had emphasized before, and he challenges the Corinthians to see this big picture of principles that can shape their attitude not only toward this topic, but toward any topic that can become a matter of debate. Over the years, there have been a number of topics that have been debated among Christians in many different denominations. Can a Christian dance? Can a Christian go to the movies? Can a Christian gamble? Can a Christian smoke? Can a Christian drink socially? Can a Christian listen to secular music? Back in the 90s, I attended a church service once in which the pastor said that Christians should not use the internet. I worked on a project with one church that was in the midst of a debate among the members about women wearing pants, makeup, fingernail polish. And the men, they weren't allowed to wear shorts or tank tops. These are just some of the matters that we have debated over the years as Christians and other denominations. I suppose if I were to think about it just a little bit longer, I could find a few more, and maybe you can think of one or two yourself. Here's the focus of today's message. There are some matters of behavior where the lines between right and wrong are not as clearly defined as we would like them to be, right? So where do we draw the line, and how do we determine what our position will be in these gray areas? There are three questions we can ask ourselves that will help us define and refine our position on any debatable matter. Any two-sided type topic or multi-sided topic that is not this is the key, that is not clearly spelled out in Scripture, right? This isn't about whether robbing banks is an acceptable side hustle, okay? But for any topic that is not clearly spelled out in the Scriptures, these questions will help you come to the conclusion that works best for you. So here's the first question. Have I taken the time to think this matter through? Have I taken the time to think this matter through? In other words, am I looking at this topic from both sides? I mentioned way back in week two of this series, a friend of mine who teaches English composition on a university level, and that she gives her students an assignment each semester after teaching them how to write a persuasive essay and then having turned the paper in on their own personal topic of choice, which is exciting as a student, right? Boy, what a trap she set. And then she had them write a persuasive essay, same topic, but from the other point of view. Most students, she said, are incapable of seeing their topic from another perspective. There's something about a one-dimensional, one-size-fits-all worldview that we find all but irresistible. We love it when there's only one way of looking at things, our way. Most topics are not that cut and dried. There's more than one perspective to consider. It's the annoyance of nuance. And most relevant topics are, in fact, nuanced. So Paul says to the Corinthians in verse 15, I speak to sensible people. Judge for yourselves what I say. Other translations say, I speak to reasonable people. He's saying, in effect, you pride yourselves in being intellectually accomplished and theologically sophisticated. So look at this matter from every angle. And then he presents the nuance of the argument. On the one hand, he says this in verse 20. The sacrifices of pagans are offered to demons, not to God. And I do not want you to be participants with demons. Verse 21, you cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons too. You cannot have a part in both the Lord's table and the table of demons. And on the other hand, then he goes on to say this, and it starts in verse 25 and 26. Eat anything sold in the meat market without raising questions of conscience, for the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. For why is my freedom being judged by another's conscience? If I take part in a meal with thankfulness, why am I denounced because of something I thank God for? In other words, why am I being denounced for something that is between God and me and isn't anyone else's business? Paul is saying, you are sensible, reasonable people. Think this matter all the way through, as objectively as possible, from both sides of the coin, and let that influence your final decision. The book of Romans, when Paul is talking about this and other disputable topics of debate, he says, one person considers one day more sacred than another. Another considers every day alike. Each of them should be fully convinced in their own mind, Romans 14:5. You have to look at the matter closely and consider every element of the argument, because ultimately, you have to take responsibility for whatever conclusion you come to. You will never be able to deflect that responsibility by saying something like this, but the preacher said, or the church said, or society said. We need to ask ourselves the question, have I taken the time to thoroughly think this matter through? Or am I just parroting what I heard someone else say? Here's the second question that we need to ask ourselves as we consider where to draw the line in these what seem to be negotiable matters. Which choice is the most constructive for all? In verse 23, Paul repeats the phrase he used in chapter 6. In the ESV, this phrase is translated, "All things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful." 1 Corinthians 6:12. He says it in chapter 10, 23. "All things are lawful, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful, but not all things build up." In the NIV, this verse states in 23, "I have the right to do anything, but not everything is constructive." One thing we should consider whenever we're trying to decide whether or not we should eat meat sacrificed to idols or something comparable is it's this: what is best for everyone? Which choice can I make that is most likely to build others up rather than tear them down? This is why Paul said in verse 24, "No one should seek their own good, but the good of others." A few weeks ago, I mentioned a friend of mine that he wouldn't listen to secular music anymore because he felt like it was pulling it back into his own life. To listen to music in his presence would have been a stumbling block, so whenever we're together, we don't play that type of music. In the same way, there were those in the Corinthian church who no doubt still felt the pull of the old pagan way of life, eating meat that had been previously sacrificed on the altar to Apollo would have felt wrong to them. So Paul says that we should take that person into consideration before we make our choice. He says this: as far as your individual freedom goes, Paul recommends a sort of don't ask, don't tell approach. In verse 25 through 30, he says you can eat any meat that is sold in the market. Just don't ask about its history. If you're invited into a friend's house and they serve you a steak, don't ask where it came from. Just enjoy it. But if they make a point to tell you that it has been offered in a sacrifice, then politely decline, because you don't want to cause anyone else to stumble. Then he says in verse 29, "For why is my freedom being judged by another's conscience?" This verse hints at the fine line to consider as we decide which way is best. If one is to say, "If this action will cause you to stumble, I will refrain." But that doesn't mean that everything we do is up for a vote among those who only want to pass judgment on everyone else. To say it clearly, if something makes another person falter in their faith, let's refrain from doing it. But if they're only seeking something to use as ammunition to judge and condemn others, we need pay them no mind. The main question is what is most loving, uplifting, and constructive? This is why Paul said this in verse 32, or starting there. "Do not cause anyone to stumble, whether Jews, Greeks, or the church of God. Even as I try to please everyone in every way, for I am not seeking my own good, but the good of many, so that they may be saved." Let's consider the spiritual weaknesses and vulnerabilities of others before we take a stand on our own liberty spiritually, right? Our own spiritual liberty. Here's the third question we need to ask ourselves as we consider where to draw the line in these negotiable matters. Which path most glorifies God? The question we ask is never this, right? How much sin can I get away with and still make it to heaven? Neither is the question, how far can I push the envelope and to what extent can I bend the rules and still qualify as spiritual? The question instead is how to bring the most glory to God in my every action and interaction with other people. What can I do that would inspire people to say, isn't God good? Paul says this in verse 31. So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it to the glory of God. We need to get to the point where we're bringing the glory to God matters more than any liberty we might indulge. Let God be glorified before everything else. Nothing matters more. In Vacation Bible School, right, we learned what joy stands for. Do you remember? Anybody remember? Jesus, others, you. In that order. First, we want to bring glory to God, and in all that we do as we exalt the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Second, we want to build up others and serve them in such a way that they become strong in their faith. Third, we take our own rights and preferences and privileges into consideration, but only to the extent that we never lose sight of the J, Jesus. We never lose sight of the O, others. And when we do that, we will spell it right every single time, joy. So, is it right or wrong to eat meat that's been sacrificed to idols? Or to play bingo? Or to get your ear pierced? Or to have a tattoo? Or any other non-absolutes that people may debate? You can let someone tell you, because lots of folks are waiting for the chance to do that. Or like Paul has, you know, suggested and taught here, you weigh out each question, looking at it from every single angle, considering what is the best way to build others up and which is the best path to bring glory to God. I can't help but think of our Wesleyan tradition of the quadrilateral, of the acronym REST, reason, experience, tradition, and scripture. It's how we weigh out any problem. I can't help but think that when Martin Luther was on trial for his writings at Worms and all the things that were going on, and they gave him a free pass if he just recanted everything he wrote and said, and he asked for the night to think about it, to pray about it, to consider it. He came back and he said, I can't recant everything I've written because you've affirmed much. And then he said, if you can tell me in good reason in Scripture, show me right there, then I'll recant. And of course, they couldn't do it. Hence, we all have a Bible versus just in so-called clergy's hands. Reason, experience, tradition are all enhanced and enlivened by Scripture. It's not our human reason. It's not our human traditions. It's not our human experiences. But it's all lit up. It all comes back to Scripture. And that's exactly what our Book of Discipline teaches us. So I encourage you to look at this way of weighing things out. And yeah, there's gray areas. Jesus, I mean, they had the Ten Commandments, right? That was the rules. And then the Pharisees and the Sadducees tested Jesus. Which one's the greatest commandment? And he says, the Lord, to love your God with all your heart, all your mind, and all your soul. And to love your neighbor as yourself. If that isn't the Ten Commandments on steroids, my friends, I have no idea what is. He made everything more challenging. Not difficult, not harder, but more challenging. So we need to think of other people, and we need to weigh out these decisions from every side. And, you know, Paul, you know, he said to the church in Rome, Let us be convinced in our own minds. Praise God. Amen.